Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thugging like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Vogue, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You big?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yap from UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You wait me?
Tiffany Levine.
And this Queen Crazy, your girl, says a bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
Alright, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
Alright.
Y'all, this is Miss Irresistible giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip-hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh Design, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio. The Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
Them in the same breath as me. Even if they was beside me, you can't put them next to me. I ain't no member of nothing, nigga, I'm a founder. Go against the gang and left flowing with the flounder. Got that I don't give a fuck in me, Stoobie. And it's eternal, especially crafted hollow to finish your external. I'm a reaper, but I'm righteous, my nigga. But I ain't yak with them Browers, O's, and the Nola. Fuck with me, no cap, this a new legacy. No Space Jam, Marine issued assault rifle, knock off your face, fam. You don't hear none of these rappers mention my name, cause they know the vibes. Disrespectful as fuck, yes, but never told no lies. My murder mommy's a body something and lay low. She'll make it clap, but I ain't Big Draco. You ain't a kingpin, you move a scary coat. Insert the extender and leave all type of bullets in your Americo.
The hump, the gas, the sword, the pole. How you gon' survive if I leave full of hoes? The pounds, the tons, the wife, the keys. Can't nobody tell me I ain't living like a G. The hump, the gas, the sword, the pole. How you gon' survive if I leave full of hoes? The pounds, the tons, the wife, the keys. Can't nobody tell me I ain't living like a G.
Stomach like Jason Tatum, feel like Sway Lee when I'm in that foreign. I'm power glass, the Molly Motto, shoddy draping Gavinci, gripping the rod. I fuck with real niggas like Magnums, no intercourse, reeking the medical marijuana and scotch up in the Porsche. My committee ruthless, heartless heathens that murk and chop. Distribute A1 to the junkies and weave the cops. How could I ever not be mentioned?
fortune amongst the elite fans. Down before a multi, nigga, I be damned. Being self-made, individuality is admired. Grind hard to find God and obtain what you desire. Wise man is wise because he knows that he knows nothing. Jiffy face, nigga, don't make me unload this ladder. And your muffin could be smaller than twat or as big as the Jabari twat. Once I remove the arm out the stizzy nizzy, you all could die.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. What's the deal, y'all? This your man, King Eric, and you're now tuned in to episode 400, y'all. Before we, when I bring T-Max on, I got to give myself a standing ovation for reaching this accomplishment, this milestone. And I got T-Max with the facts on the line.
What it do, man. Thursday night, the tremendous OTC up in the building. Shout out to our co-host and still our fan man, Lady Chinchilla. We are sponsored by Five Venture Clothing, Buddy Boy Entertainment, Dirty Basement Radio, Jesse's Boutique, and Core Financial, along with Five Venture Clothing. And as King said, 400.
Yes, sir. And people are wondering, why can we not doing the celebration episode? What I wanted to do, I wanted to do something different. I wanted to instead celebrate it next month because it's going to be our 7th year anniversary show. So I wanted to pull up all the guests, everything in line. It gives me more time to get the promotion out there. So that's going to be a real huge show. It might have to go 3 hours of the way we more worked it.
Yeah, but I mean, definitely, man, this is a testament to what Off the Cuff Radio is about, our continued, you know, testament to being the best we can be in the very best fashion that we know how, you know, in terms of being diligent, being knowledgeable, being respectful, being curators of the culture, and bringing you nothing but the absolute best in integral journalism, you know, from your favorite artists, past and present. So this is something that we are exceptionally proud of. And
yes, sir.
You know, we
and
promise,
you know,
we got more to come. Yes.
Episode 400, man. We had to bring this guy aboard, man. Possibly one of the hardest working individuals in the independent scene. He spit with the best of them. Been putting out consistent projects. He got one out titled Pesci 3. He did one with Yug Mouth called Savages. He did one with Big Twins. This guy stayed working. And on top of that, he's a cold Laker fan like me. So you know it's only right to bring him on, man. So without further ado, let's bring on the homie Jay Hood, y'all.
Jim. Oh, what's good, bum boy?
What's good,
going
my
on,
man?
Jay, how's it been? How you been?
Man, ain't nothing. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, look,
bless,
Jay,
brother.
It's always a pleasure, man. Yeah, it's always a pleasure to have
that's
you on,
what's
man.
What's
glad
up,
to have
man.
You
good
back.
To hear. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's a blessing to have you on, man. I know you've been busy. You've been having a lot of things going on. So before we go on with the interview, man, first of all, how you doing, man?
Man, same here, man. Everything blessed. I'm just can't complain too much at all. Actually, man, you know, I'm just grinding. On the grind, don't stop. Got to keep working. It's the only thing, you know, it's left to do out here. Stay busy. So it's been
charming,
you know.
Yes, sir. We reached out to you, man, because, you know, you put out Pesci 3, which is the third installment to the series you've been working on. Tell us what you got going on with that, man, and who's the guest appearances on there, and where can people find it? Like, tell us about it.
Yes, sir. I mean, like you just alluded to, it's part 3 of the Pesci series that I started, which is obviously a series of albums that goes to 3. I have the part 1, which I featured a few different artists on as far as like collaborations. Part 2, I put a few collabos on there too, but I did it more so in the EP form. I didn't make it a full album. You know what I mean? I think it was like 6 or 7 tracks, if I'm not mistaken. But this one right here, I did it completely by myself. You know what I mean? No features at all. I just wanted to display my versatility, my lyricism, and just my whole, the picture that I was trying to paint to the people and as a whole, period. You know what I mean? Just like with the whole Pesci concept. So, but as far as like the production, I kind of like work with the kind of the same people from the first two. I mean, I added like a new producer, maybe one. But other than that, it's like the same dudes, Max B. Max Dallas, Gotti Gator, my man GQ from Japan, my guy Klepto, my man DJ Rod Lee, and my homie Infamous from Trenton, New Jersey, and also my dude Bo Sharp. So, you know, all up and coming dudes. Got that fire though, you know what I mean?
Jay, I mean, for you, you know, to name your project, you know, Pesci is so appropriate because it's named after one of the all-time greats in the acting game. You know, shout out to Joe Pesci, you know, and that name just commands respect on the merits. You know, definitely in terms of what it means in terms of just the power it evokes, in terms of the message it entails, what was your inspiration going into this particular project in terms of really, like, you know, because there's always a theme, a concept, you know, that artists go into in terms of it. And what was this? Tell us the story behind this one.
I mean, truthfully, you know, I've been, you know, certain people anyway, always called me Jay Pesci from a long time ago because it's like an alter ego of mine, you feel what I'm saying? So I kind of like adopted that alter ego from seeing different similarities to being this dude on the gangster films, you feel what I'm saying? Like, he's short, and I'm short as well, you know what I mean? He was like hot-headed, I was hot-headed, so I'm like, you know what? SP did the Styles Panero, which is De Niro and Pacino, so I did the, you know, the Jay Pesci thing. So with that being said, every project I try to do is like, it's determined by the space that I'm in at the time. You feel what I'm saying? So at this present time, that's the space that I wanted to, you know, to create in, you know, for whatever reason. You know what I mean? And it's like, I'm like, you know what? The real hard rap to where I came from, like, it's in right now. So, you know what? Let me hit these dudes with something that they could appreciate and respect as far as, like, on the bar side of things and the lyrical side and the production side of things. So that's basically where the whole thing was inspired from.
Word. I mean, literally a movie, you know, set to the music and whatnot in terms of thematic schemes of it.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, man. And it's one thing about it because it's already creeping up on in terms of you being in the game, you know, almost, you know, 20 years now. How does it feel to be such a distinguished veteran in terms of, you know, from your inclusion to the game to all these years later still being consistent and still putting out, you know, heat, you know, for the street?
At times, honestly, I feel, well, first and foremost, I'm blessed, you know what I mean, to be able to still be spoken about all these years later without releasing an actual single or a retail project on the major label. You know what I'm saying? Like, most of the people that came out around the time that I came out on the underground, they're kind of like not around right now. It's only a few of them that's still, you know, shaking and baking. But I have to look back. I'll be like, damn, man, it's been 20 years. You feel me? Like, that's like crazy. You feel what I'm saying? Because I'm still semi-young. I'm not like young like the young boys out there, but I, you know what I mean? I'm still in my 30s. So I came in mad early. So I had the opportunity to learn a lot at an early age. So, you know, I just had a lot of experiences that, you know, I learned from. And it made me a way wiser and better person. It made me a more well-rounded and educated artists. I look at things totally different now just from having that experience and gaining that certain wisdom from going through certain things. So I don't feel like where I could potentially be or where I should be, so to speak, for certain reasons. But you know, but I'm cool. I grind. I'm a grindaholic. I work, and I'm gonna keep pushing for the real people that appreciate real hip hop.
Definitely.
That's one of the main reasons
why
I reached out to you, man, because I seen how a lot of people, like, you know, a lot of these publications and these bloggers, they ain't, for some reason, they really, like, not wanting to cover your album. And I found that kind of odd, considering that you were part of the new releases. So, you know, with us doing us and, you know, us being off the cover radio, we wanted to bring you on and be like, look, he put out a hard project. This guy put out, I got a dope installment that's, you know, creative, innovative. Like, why is he not really getting the coverage that he should? So that's what made me want to reach out to you, because you have a story.
I mean, you
to
know
tell.
What it is. You know what I mean? You know what that's about, man. And it's like, it's no secret. You know what I mean? A nigga got blackballed a long time ago. I'm not saying, like, point fingers or whatever the case, but it just took a minute to really somewhat get about that situation. But at the same time, you got people that don't want to do certain things because they don't want to feel as though they're stepping on anybody's toes, because realistically speaking, it could be the littlest thing. Let's say, even though it's the right thing to do, because if you're a media outlet and you cover the hot releases, it definitely should be one of those, because at the time that it dropped, it's only like 2 weeks old anyway, but that whole wave of albums that dropped during that week, you're not going to tell me my album, as far as like on a production tip, on a lyrical tip, on as far as a creative side, it wasn't top five albums that dropped during that time. You're not going to tell me that. But the thing is, if they was to cover it, that would be bringing light to the project, and that would make more people aware of the fact that it's out. You feel what I'm saying? And that gives it an opportunity to spread to more places than it would have spread before. So it's like they don't want to do a nigga no type of favors, and we not going to throw him no rope. We not going to do none of that type of shit. You feel what I'm saying? It's like, and it's crazy, because that type of shit is still going on from some shit that transpired damn near 15 years ago.
Right. And you know, Hood, we had you on a couple of years ago, you know, and we're so honored and humbled and blessed, because this is your third time with us. We don't need to rehash all of that history, of course, because, you know, for those that are, you know, those that our audience have brought with us, it's all on YouTube, those first and second interviews we did with you. If y'all want to know the whole story, you know, check them out. You know, we implore you to do so. But I do want to ask you, Hood, about how the game has changed, because, you know, while social media for the better part of the past 10 years in hip-hop has really been a mover and shaker in terms of getting artists out there, like in the past, seemingly like 3-4 years alone, like the shit has really gone to the next level in terms of just some of the stuff we've seen out there in terms of what artists have been doing, not necessarily just with their music, but just the crazy-ass antics that have been going on. You know what I mean? It's, you know,
right.
Yeah, a lot has changed in the 3 years we've had you on, man. Please, give us your thoughts.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think, me personally, my whole outlook on the game right now, I think it's we're in an excellent space as far as generating revenue goes. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Especially like the younger guys. They're making money at a rate that people like me, or people like the ones that came before me, wasn't making. Like, you know what I mean? And it's like ridiculous. But at the same time, what happened is they made it so much about the finances that anybody could get in the game without even possessing any skill. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you could get in the game off clout chasing, or off a gimmick or some shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, only thing you need is like a goddamn SoundCloud, a beat with a melodic hook, and you got a chance of getting in there. You know what I mean? Like, so social media, that plays a large part. And a lot of the reason that a lot of these new guys are out, you know, and some of them are as successful as they are. I'm not knocking anybody, because, like I said, it's a lot of guys out here, but it's a lot of dudes that don't possess no skill, too. So it's just like the internet opened that whole door for that wave of new music that's out right now. You feel what I'm saying? And then, like you said, you got people out here doing whatever to gain recognition, the clout chasing thing. You know what I mean? I wasn't one of those people that really used that term, but being in the age that we're in, you got to somewhat conform. You know what I mean? If you want to be, you know what I mean? Look, that's, I'm gonna use the clout chasing word. That's what these people be out here doing. You know what I mean? Anything for notoriety, to get noticed. You know what I'm saying? Like anything of shock value that they could go viral from, or they have they could potentially go viral from. That's what it's all about now.
Yeah,
and on top of that, it's providing. I'm looking at it also too that in a good way. In the past couple of years, has been lyricists coming back in the forefront now, which is really good. It's like we saw with the Grammys, with Nas winning the Grammy and Royce and Freddie Gibbs getting
right.
nominated. So you start seeing slowly a good shift coming amongst the culture, but it's still a way to go.
Right, right. And the good thing about social media, though, because it has its pros and its cons, like everything else in the world, it gives an opportunity for all artists, not only the new ones, but the older ones, too, that the other fans might not have heard from in a minute. It gives them an opportunity to find them, keep up with them, you know what I mean, and check them out and support them and stuff like that. So social media is a beast. If you know how to use it, right?
Yeah.
And you know what?
And speaking of that,
and it's also a great promotional tool. And a lot of people feel the sort of way when you name drop Lloyd Banks, and you know, he ain't really calling
yeah.
out. But I looked at it like it was great promo because the nigga don't really do promo. So I looked at it like that's good for business on both of y'all because now people know that you got a project and he got a project.
Absolutely, and that was all it was about. You feel what I'm saying? But people are so fickle and they're so narrow-minded that they're not able to look at things from that point of view. You know what I'm saying? It's like that was nothing more than opportunistic marketing. You feel what I'm saying? Like I explained the situation on this little vlog that I dropped, but it's like, dude, we come from two different cliques that had quote unquote beef in the early 2000s mixtape era. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we just so happen to be dropping a project the same week. You know what I mean? Like, you can have a little fun with it. Even if you don't want to have fun with it, I'm going to throw a little something out there. You feel what I'm saying? Nothing personal. But, hey, it's all competitiveness because that's what hip-hop was constructed on anyway. So, yeah, my project better than yours, man. Period. And that's all it was. But people got bent out of shape about it. You know, all these fans and consumers are so emotionally attached to these artists. It's not just music with them. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, this is supposed to be competitiveness. Everybody not going to be on no kumbaya buddy-buddy shit. That's where this shit is all fucked up at, man. Let this shit be competitive like it was originally created for. I mean, to be. Excuse
yeah.
me.
And you know one thing about it, Jay, and that's real, because a lot of times when we look at the elements of what hip-hop is and its competitive nature, we also look at the elements of a lot of artists. And a lot of times we tend to fall in love with that nostalgia in terms of like what you just said about people getting bent out of shape. But the gauntlet of the gift of gab has always been present in the game. You know, whether, you know, it was Kool Moe Dee, you know, versus LL, whether it was Biggie versus Tupac, you know, whether it was Q versus NWA, you know, countless other, you know, rap battles that we've seen over the years. Nas versus Jay, you know, it's just, and that's an integral part. But people have to understand, too, that a gift, that, you know, when there is a tossing, you know, of the rhymes back and forth, that does not necessarily mean disrespect, you know, although we've
right.
seen battles where it has gotten disrespectful. But this is not an issue of you disrespecting Banks. It's simply about you declaring, you know, your ability of awesome. And that, yeah, you know, I'm with it, I've, you know, and I got it. So you ready to go?
Yeah,
ahead
and the thing also is it wouldn't even have, this particular situation wouldn't even have led to no lyrical exchanging between us. It would have strictly been a talking thing just to get the people riled up. And from my way of thinking, I'm like, you know what, it worked somewhat exactly like I thought it was going to work, because my initial purpose for doing that just was to get the people to talk. If you know anything about the laws of power, man, you stir up water to catch fish. That's all I was doing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's it.
Yeah, what other better way? And what other better way is for somebody that's considered to be your peer and somebody that's also nice that can use the promo? So it was a great business move.
Yeah, right. I respect Banks. I always respected his pen game. You know what I mean? I never once said that he was not nice. I never once said anything of the sort. You know what I mean? I might have dibbled into the realistic facts of him being structured more than me as far as like on a label and things of that nature, but I never once tried to discredit him or nothing like that.
You know, and one thing about it, Hood, you know, when you make that point so poignantly, what do artists have to understand about even being with a major in terms of whether you're aligned with a major crew or being with a major label, how things can change just in an aspect of business or just the musical climate, and how artists have to be prepared for that change and having to make those moves on their own in terms of being self-starting and innovative enterprising to continue, you know, that endeavor.
Right.
Yeah. What are your feelings on that in terms of how artists have to understand how things can change?
From perspective of being on a major to indie?
Well, and also just being with a crew, because we've seen how things happen, you know, just with different artists, you know, because it's like, you know, you can be, how many times have you seen artists? Huh?
I say, so you're speaking about just basically just going
just
solo.
In general, yes, sir.
Okay.
In general, just about how things could change, yeah.
I guess it all depends on how big the quote-unquote crew that you are with is, you feel what I'm saying,
mm-hmm.
or the amount of impact that you guys made, or you know what I'm saying, but it's always going to have some type of level of difficulty when you're leaving something that you was part of to do it solo and do the work by yourself. You just have to be built mentally and skillfully to get things done, you know what I mean, think and plan and execute. It's all about the execution part of things. So, you know, a lot of people just, they lack that stamina. They think it's just, you know, I'm gonna get in the game, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, and next thing you know, you jammed up paperwork wise, you know what I mean? Like, you can't make no moves, you think, like, you know what I mean? Because you wasn't prepared. Like, you just looking at the glitz and the glamour, the videos and the cars and the jewelry and all that other type of stuff. So it's easy to get caught up in the wrong things, because, you know what I mean, I wish I knew the things that I know now, you know what I'm saying, when I was younger.
Right.
Man, look, right. I could have had all type. I could have damn near probably had 100 M's or something right now, man, you know what I mean, just from looking at things on the business side.
Right.
And you know what's
so,
the trip,
you know,
too?
You just got to,
I was going to say what's a trip, too, is, man, is just, when y'all talking about consistency, and I know that I've seen a lot of cats that were really nice that came from different crews from your era, ain't nothing sadder than wasted talent, man, because I've seen a lot of dudes that just let either the business or just let the lack of aptitude just swallow them, and they don't even really put in that work. And it's like a
sad
thing to see.
I can't fault them, though. You know why, bro? Because it's hard, man. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to lie. You know how many times I contemplated quitting? You know what I mean? Just because it's just so much, man. You know what I mean? Like, when I first came in the game, my love for the game and the fire that burned inside of me and the hunger that kept me going to want to get signed and just to have that love for the game, once I finally got in and got a piece of it and then I got to see the different faces of people, the two-faced side of things, and seeing how fake everything was and all that just makes you, that does something to certain people. And a lot of people, they're just not made to withstand that shit. You know what I mean? Like, this shit is different. So, like I said, I don't fault none of the people that wasn't strong enough to, like, stick around, because, you know, mentally you gotta be strong. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I contemplated quitting so many times, bro. I'm like, these niggas don't, these niggas don't appreciate niggas. You know what I mean? As far as the fans, the work that got to, that's put into these projects, like all type of shit. So, but like that's, that kind of goes into what I was saying earlier. I'm like, as far as like the people that came out during the time I came out, it's not too many of them still around. They're still even being spoken on.
And that's real talk, Hood, because once again, I will do a shameless plug for XXL, a Source magazine, because I have every XXL since 1997 when they started, and I have every Source magazine since 1994.
That's all.
You're absolutely, you know, and Hood, you're absolutely right, you know, because when you look at those magazines, it almost maybe give or take 500 issues between both of them. Not to mention Don Diva, you know, and Straight Stunt. And shout out to DJ K Slay, the Drama King, representing Harlem, of course. There's so many artists that I've seen going back over 25 years. And you're absolutely right. You know, this is a marathon, you know, in terms of just getting your foot in the door. And to have longevity is something that is hard, man, because, you know, it's like the NBA, you know, you got a lot of college ballers that are dope, but they don't get to the next level, or they get to the pros,
right,
but they never really become what everybody thinks they're going to become, you know,
and
it's a lot, you know, but even when some would try to, like, I'll use Kwame Brown as an example. Everybody tries to say Kwame Brown is a bum, but I'm like, why? Because he didn't do what y'all think he should have did, but you look at the fact that this dude won a championship, played 13 years, you know, and had his money. I'm like, the dude, you know, so many artists, I think sometimes, you know, he's eating. And, you know, so many artists sometimes let themselves fall under the weight of everybody else's expectations. And, you know, even with King and myself, with what we've done with this show, you know, we've had our ups and downs over the years, but one thing about it is our commitment to the culture was always bigger than the criticisms people would try to give us. And for you, Hood, to still be here, even with everything you've endured, that is a testament to your tenacity, and it shows that you do it for the culture and that you still got stuff, you know, that everybody needs to hear for the streets, man. You know, we're happy to have you on, you know, because we've always supported you. We always will. And
that's love. Appreciate that.
You know, but it's something that, like you said, man, this is a hard game, man, in terms of the business aspects of it. You know, just pretty much, do you think it's harder getting your foot in the door, you know, from what you've observed, or staying in the game once you get there in terms of maintaining?
That's an excellent question. I think it might be, let me think before I answer that one, because it depends on the person. But I would say it might be harder getting in, because nowadays I can't say that, because nowadays it's not so hard to get in, but when I was coming up, it was a little harder. But it's not hard as it was because of the things that we were speaking about a little earlier, as far as like the internet and stuff like that. So it's easier for artists to possibly break through by going viral.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have all these other ways you can get in. But once you get in, you just have to maintain a steady work ethic, you know what I'm saying, and continue to feed the consumers. As long as you're able to do that on at least a consistent level, you'll be in it for a while. You know what I mean? And you're giving people quality. It can't be like no garbage or nothing like that, because your fans will eventually, you know, evaporate. But if you're giving quality music, you got a good chance of sticking around, man. Because music is universal and it lasts forever. But clearly, you got, like we were saying, you got people that fade. They come in and they're gone. You know what I'm saying? Because they can't withstand, you know, the entertainment field and, you know, the whole game, the industry. But like I said, it depends on the person.
And
yeah.
So what, and also,
you know,
too, what kept you open to, and this is another lesson for a lot of artists, is the key to network with different people out of your area. And you're networking with a lot.
Yes.
Like, one of my favorite producers was The Mechanics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kenny tweeted for Rax. Shout out to the Bay. Yes.
Yeah, that's a fact. Shout out to the Bay, man. Shout out to the homie Forex, the Mechanics, and all that, you know. Yes, sir.
Yeah, what was it like working with those guys, man?
Man, the Bay is my, that's one of my favorite places in Cali, man. You know what I mean? Like, it's just different. But, you know, every time I go out there, they show me hella love. You know what I mean? Like a nigga from there. So I love being out there. Once we did the video shoot with me and Yuck, for the joint with Keek the Sneak. It was dope as shit, man. We was in the hood. We went to this spot that E-40 shot is one of the videos at the time at. It showed me around, and like I said, the vibe was just different, man. I had a lot of fun. You know, if you go to Cali, I definitely recommend you go to the Bay. And I was in Oakland,
man,
to be specific.
Yeah, and you know one thing about it, Hood, because King will tell you, I'm a huge Bay fan, you know, of the town, man. You know, shout out to the 510, you know, the 707, you know, the 415. I mean, it's just the 831. You know, I mean, look, we shouting out East Palo Alto. We shouting out, you know, the 96 Sacramento. Yeah, man. I mean, Seminary 5900 block in Oakland. We talking Maltwood. Look, we talking East Oakland, West Oakland, Highland, you know, a foothill. You know what I mean?
Yes,
you know, the hills, the flats. East, man, look, man, shout out to the Bay, man. I mean, you know, shout out to Keep the Sneak, man, especially, you know, with his situation, you know, with, you know, once, you know, unfortunately, you know, niggas trying to, you know, put it into him, you know, and he got in the wheelchair. But what was it like working with him, and how's his spirits these days?
Man, Keek, to keep it all the way a rack with you, like, I always knew about Keek, you know what I mean? But being from the East Coast, you know, he's
mm-hmm.
not someone that's too big over here. Like, as far as, like,
right.
the cloth I was cut from. But
mm-hmm.
I knew about him, but I didn't listen to
right.
too much of his music. So once Yuck put me on game about him, I started listening to him and shit like that. And then, like, okay, we'll get him on the album. I'm like, all right, dope. So, you know, we did the joint, went over there, met him, and it was super love, man. You know, he a legend. He a Bay legend. You know,
yeah,
everybody treat him as such. He's just super cool, man. You know, the vibe was dope. And, he 100. Definitely 100.
That's dope, man. And that's dope, you know, because even with that situation of what happened, you know, the love of hip-hop is so strong in him that even that couldn't keep him down, man. You know, much love to Keek, man, you know.
Yeah, Keek,
T-shirt,
definitely
blue,
shaking
you know,
and begging. He ain't stopped yet.
Yeah, man, you know, look, Mr. T-shirt, blue jeans and nights, you know, the hypey, you know, heavy hitter himself, man. What have you found about the music culture out in the Bay Area? There was similar or different in terms of the East Coast.
One thing I tell you about the Bay,
yeah,
and this is
mm-hmm.
one thing that stood out immediately, and this is also something that, you know, basically Yuck put me on to, you know what I'm saying, and he taught me about. But, you know, their independence as far as, like, putting music out and putting albums out,
mm-hmm.
their indie game is crazy. You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Like, that's
yeah.
all they do is put albums out independently, and they've been putting them out, and they be selling all type of records that you wouldn't even think of. You be like, yo, you sold what? You got how many albums out? Yeah, that's how they do it over there. You know what I mean? Like, you would never know. And they, you got people that's big over there that you probably never heard of over here type shit. The independent game
yeah.
is on 100. Like, Yuck, he put me on that. He like, look, man, nah, we ain't doing no mixtapes. We doing albums, man. You know what I'm saying? Because initially, my idea for Savages was to be a mixtape. Be like, nah, hell no, we got to get some bread off this, man. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, made the album.
You know,
got it distributed through Empire, and that was that.
And, you know, one thing about it, too, Hood, is, you know, when you look at it out there, you know, because, of course, I was naming area codes, but I'd be remiss if I don't shout out, you know, just all the cities, man. I mean, like I said, San Francisco, you know, Vallejo, you know, I mean, you know, of course, Oakland, you know, Stanford. I mean, it's just so many, man. I mean, it's like San Mateo. It's, you know, of course, artists. I mean, we got E-40, the late, great, you know what I'm saying, Romper Room himself, Matt Gray. You know, Short, the godfather of it all. You know, shout out to Uncle Rich, a good friend of ours, Richie Rich. Filthy Rich. You know what I'm saying? Of course, Yup Now, you know, the General. I mean, so many others. Jay Stylin. I mean, Mr. Fab. You know, the Hood Stars. Can't forget, and we got to give love to the Samoans out there. Shout out to Drew Deasy, man. You know, shout out to Drew, man.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean,
I was gonna ask you too, man.
We just came back from Cali, actually.
Oh, okay.
What happened?
We were in Cali probably like two and a half, three weeks ago.
Yeah. We're working on part two right now to the Savages. I just seen him when we was in Cali like 2.5 weeks ago and shit. Him and my bro Stick and all that. He did a video to one of his singles off his project. I mean, Yuck shot the video, and then I had a listening party for the album over there in L.A. and shit. And then I ended up doing a video with somebody that I did a feature with over there, my homie, Any Means. So, you know, we had a dope time, you know what I'm saying? So, Cali. Man, I first met Yuck when I was like, that'd be like 17, 18, I think.
Oh, wow.
In Miami, man.
I was in Miami
on Collins. I was battling somebody. You know, it was a big crowd around, man. You know, I was giving somebody the business. I think he was, like, one of the people that was, like, standing by, just listening and shit. And from there, we kept in contact, and he sent me a joint to hop on. This was probably, like 6-7 years ago, sent me a joint to hop on. Hopped on the joint, and the joint came out dope. The chemistry was fire, and I sent him something to hop on, and we just continued to send each other tracks until we came up with an idea. Let's put a project together, and then from there it was just locked in. Me taking trips out there, you know what I mean, back and forth and shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, he's definitely a legend out there. One track that always stood out to me, you know, it was a newer joint, of course, even though it's a few years old. It was Grittin', and I was like, yo, I'm like, Yuck is straight, like just.
Yeah, well, niggas don't know about Yuck, man. Niggas be sleep. I be having to tell niggas. I'm like, yo, nigga.
Yeah.
Nigga, Yuck be spitting, nigga. Like, y'all niggas is sleep. I'm like,
look,
straight up, man.
Everybody look at the way he did with the Loonies, and, you know, of course, you know, Operation Stackola was a classic slapper, but it's like, you know, and that's how a lot of people know him. But I'm like, dude, it's like Yup really is like, he's got a lot of shit that hits a lot, like when he did his debut in 98, you know, Thugged Out, the Ovulation.
Thugged Out,
Ovulation, rap a lot.
Yeah,
crazy. I'm like, yo, he does.
And to take it a bit further than that, yo, I put Yuck up against whoever supposed to be like in the top five lyrically on the West Coast, straight up. Unpopular opinion, you know what I mean? But I would throw him. I think he could give whoever think is nice. I think he'll give him a run for their money. Straight music.
Man, that's saying a lot considering who's really big in the West right now. I mean, in terms of the old and the new.
As bars, right now that still could go. That nigga still could flick. He'll flame a nigga.
Yeah, you know, and one thing about it, Hood, it's great to see that even with him being older, like, Yuck still has that fire to do it, you know, because, and we have this conversation with so many of our guests on the shows we've had about the ageism that a lot of, you know, and it's become seemingly more prevalent this day and time where a lot of the, some of the listening public is trying to tell, you know, niggas when they gotta retire. My thing is, why the fuck do we got, why are we doing this? Like, why are we trying to tell niggas who have given themselves to the culture, who have immersed themselves in it, to sacrifice so much, and you just got some people to just say, well, you know, it's kind of a, you know, everybody else coming. I'm like, there's enough room for everybody if your shit is good, and you definitely need the legend.
Yeah, but I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of on the fence about that because it's like you use a couple key words. If your shit is still good, you know what I mean? Because there's motherfuckers out here trying to linger around that ain't got no business lingering around. You motherfuckers just
understood.
Need to fade, fade to the black type shit. You know what I mean? Because if you out here looking crazy, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel what you're saying because you got rock stars out here that's still able to run around and get their bread. You know what I'm saying? Drop whenever they want to pop in and drop something. And hip hop is the only culture that will put an age stamp on you and be like, yo, you shouldn't do it past this age or something like that. You feel what I'm saying? So I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah,
if they Sean Kemp for the magic status, they got to go, man.
Yeah, straight up.
But look, we'll tell you somebody who aged like LeBron James, still killing them. Uncle E, shout out to E-40, man, representing Vallejo, man. Oh, my God, dude. Some of the stuff I've heard, I mean, the Gift of Gab album, and oh, my. And E is like one of my all-time favorite MCs ever. I got on him late, you know, 95, because he was already like 5-6 years in, you know. But when I first heard Sprinkle Me, and then as the years went on, I got a little deeper.
Forty a giant, man.
Favorite. Yes, he is just unbelievable. I mean, to be 51, 52 years old, and lyrically, that man is as sharp. You know, he's as sharp as a razor.
What's crazy about 40?
Mm-hmm.
When 40 drop an album, he don't just be dropping one album. He be doing some crazy shit like dropping two albums in one day type shit.
Yeah.
He's killing them. God damn. Yeah. But it'd be two separate albums, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the Gift of Gab.
That's the crazy
point.
Yeah. Fact.
For those, another shameless plug. For those that have not heard E-40's The Gift of Gab and Practice Makes Paper albums, you are missing out. I mean, of course, Chase the Money, where he has Schoolboy. Even had, I think it was, what was it, who was it, King Offset, or was it Takeoff? I think it was Offset from the Migos. I mean, and Roddy Ricch. And it's like, oh, my God. It's like, dude, how did he, this is just genius that he gets all these kids together on one track, and it works.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo.
He mixed all those ingredients.
You know, he got that, eh?
Yeah.
So, you know what's wild? When we talking about legends, man, you know, it's also a time where in 2021 we lost a lot of legends, man. I'm talking about Shock G,
right.
Black Rob, and DMX.
X.
Which was tragic, man. I mean, I still feel dog lost today.
Yeah, man. It's like, it's still, like I said, it's still unbelievable, man. It's like we're living
in
a real life nightmare.
Even though he didn't rap. And we can't forget,
that
even though
you can't
he
wake
rap,
up from
Monster Cody. We can't forget him either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
All stuff is surreal.
You know,
man.
Definitely. In terms of, you know, especially the business aspect of it, because I want to ask you this question pertaining to, and this is not a loaded one, and this is not trying to shade anybody. The situation with Black Rob especially was tragic because up until his passing, we did not realize all the struggles that he had been going through in terms of health and, you know, finances. This game puts a lot on you physically and mentally. How important is it to make sure that you're to try to maintain a lifestyle that keeps your health intact and also making sure that the business aspect of, you know, when that transition comes in terms of moving away from music, how important is that on both sides of that?
I mean, first and foremost, you have to take care of self. You know what I mean? Like, from the jump, you know what I mean? Health should be your number one priority. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
So, I mean,
right,
from a mental aspect and just the rest of your body, you know what I mean? Your mental has to be strong. So you have to make sure that you're in a well enough state to, you know what I mean, to go through what you're going to go through anyway. But, you know, and when you're in this game, man, you know, you adopt this lifestyle. You drink a lot of your choices, drinking, you smoke, you know what I mean? Like other people, they choose to indulge in other drugs and all that type of stuff. But this is an industry full of that. You feel what I'm saying? So
right.
People are doing that for a number of years, and you know what I mean? And eventually it's going to catch up to you. Not speaking about Rob's situation. I'm just speaking in general, you know what I mean, just about the lifestyle of being in the industry, period. So you just have to be conscious of everything that you do. You feel what I'm saying? Like, because this is not one of them jobs where, you know, I got the health benefits, I got the dental plans, I got all this shit that come with this shit. Like, nah, this ain't that, man. You feel what I'm saying? Like, you gotta be on your shit yourself. And just on, like, aside from just you going to, like, a regular doctor and being on that, you gotta, like I said before, like, the mental side of things, that's what really takes a toll on a lot of these people, man. It'll break you down. Mm. You feel what I'm saying? A lot of people are depressed. A lot of people are afraid to speak about being depressed. So it's just like you never know where a person is mentally. And a lot of these people are in mental spaces that you would never think of. And they don't know how to pull themselves out of the spaces that they are, and they're afraid to ask for help because of the world that we exist in right now. You know what I mean? People will shame you for doing certain things or for being vulnerable enough to express how you really feel. Like, it's just a lot of shit, man. This shit is crazy. But
and if we can touch on the
other thing you had asked about.
Yeah, and we can touch on that a little bit more, Hood, because you hit on something that is essential that I don't think, especially in the Black community, we talk enough about the mental well-being. Of course, with DMX, shout out, rest in peace to the dog, you know. We know about the struggles he had had, those who saw the Rough Riders documentary. We know what X was dealing with. One thing that still haunts me is what he said in, I believe, XXL some years ago, where he said he didn't think he would live long because he was not comfortable with life. And you knew X. You know, you all were friends. Pretty much, not only with his situation and what he dealt with in terms of the pressures of things, and, of course, we're not asking you to name anybody. We do not do that on this show. What have you found with some of these artists out here in terms of where we see beneath all the money, the celebrity, the access, the indulgences, Hood? What have you found in terms of how some of these artists, who shall remain nameless, how some of them have flourished with this opportunity, how some have self-destructed?
Yeah, I mean, everybody is different, you know what I'm saying? So you meet different people, and people act differently, you know what I'm saying? People are at different spaces in life. And some people, like I said, some people indulge in different things that the others may not indulge in, and it's like you just never know. Before, like, I done met a lot of real motherfuckers. I met a lot of fake motherfuckers. I met a lot of drug addict motherfuckers, you know what I mean? Like, it's a combination, like a mixed bag. You know what I'm saying? Like, but, you know, I'm not going to speak on nobody, but it's just...
Understood.
You have all of those type of people. Like, me personally,
I'm somewhat of a introvert. I stay to myself. I'm not like a that's probably like one of the reasons why I'm not where I think I'm supposed to be also as far as like my career, because I'd rather not be around a lot of that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like at all these places, these events, and all these so-called in spots and all these in places and all around these people, I could be there, but I don't want to be around certain shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I know that the energy is fake, and I just rather not be around that type of energy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm good. I'm a state of myself type of nigga. You know what I'm saying? I do what I got to do and just keep myself out of certain shit. But the shit crazy.
Yeah.
I think that was what was very intriguing about DMX. He said something similar in one of the interviews a long time ago where he said he ain't the type of guy to be in the club and do all the ministry parties. You can catch him shooting pool, he move quiet with his peoples, and be, you know, just be like a regular person.
I think if once you win it for a minute, it just get tiresome. Like, you grow tired of it after a while because it's the same thing. It's a repetitive thing, you know what I mean? A repetitive lifestyle. You go out, you see the same people, repeat that process. You go to the studio, you go out, you see the same people, you drink, go to the studio, you go do a show, you go out of town flying, you go back to the studio, you know what I mean? It's the same thing. So after a while, you just, you know, you grow fatigued on some level. You're like, man, I don't want to keep saying the same shit all the damn time. You feel what I'm saying? Like me,
right.
I'd rather just, you know what I mean, stay to myself, man. And only pop out when it's absolutely necessary type shit. Because you already know what's out there anyway. Like I said, the fake energy, just the fake everything. And that's what the game is predicated around. It's like it's all a facade, man. It's a deception and illusion.
And one thing about it, Hood, that you, and that's real talk. Because a lot of times, you know, this is something that in the industry that people really have to understand. You know, and I've been blessed. I've met a lot of great people in the industry. Shout out to Jeezy, you know, Red Cafe, French Montana, you know, Will I Am, people who, you know, I've met, you know, took pictures with, you know, had conversations with, you know, Drew Hill, you know. You know, so the circles, and I've been in those circles, you know, as well as King has and you have. You know, but one thing about it is a lot of people, a lot of artists who come in, I guess, like you said, too, if I can add on to that, it's also about what your intentions are in terms of who you are as an individual. Are you coming in as someone who's willing to work, network, or are you just going to try to schmooze up in terms of, frankly, whose ass you can kiss to get in that circle? And there's a lot of stories, once again, on Off the Cuff, we do not indict people. You know, that's not what we do. But you hear stories about certain individuals in their business practices, certain parties they go to that may be of questionable content.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and a lot of times when you see, I remember this store, I remember with Houston, not Marcus Houston, but a singer Houston, you know, for y'all that don't remember, you know that song, ooh, I like that,
okay.
I like that, and he stabbed his eye out. And I was like, and, it was just, I think they said, and if I could be wrong, I'm wrong, but I think what I had heard in passing was he had had some type of nervous breakdown, you know, I guess, in terms of what was going on in the industry, you know, the pressures of it. And, you know, when you're dealing with celebrity, some people, once they get into it, they are so immersed in it. They are so it engulfs them. Whatever spiritual being you believe in, of a higher power of positivity, you know, whether it be Yahweh, you know, Allah, Lord Jesus Christ, whomever, Buddha, you've got to have an understanding of who you are and your integral soul that keeps you grounded. Because with so much stuff going on, and, you know, in the years since you've been in it, Hood, it's just seemed to be a lot of this stuff has become more exacerbated now. before it was always there. We just didn't see it until social media just started putting stuff out there. But you see a lot of these artists
right.
get into some weird-ass shit. And you look at them, and it's like, okay.
It's very easy to get sucked in and lose yeah. focus once you're in. You know what I mean? Like, it's very easy, man. Like, it's people very seldomly maintain that focus and maintain their integrity and are able to turn certain stuff down. And you know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of people. Like, you'd be surprised, man. Like, people that you probably would never think of doing certain shit then did crazy shit. You know what I mean? Like, you'd be like, nah, man. You know, you don't even want to know type shit. So it's like you said, you have to know who you are as a person, your limits and your intentions. You know, once all of that is secure, and you know what your purpose is and what, you know, the purpose of you entering this game and all that type of shit, you'll be all right. But like I said, it's very, extremely easy to get sucked in this shit, man. And that shit will fuck you up because a lot of people, they don't return from it. Especially
yeah.
with social media these days and the age that we live in. Like, motherfuckers will make you a meme. It's no compassion. Like, motherfuckers are, niggas are savages out here. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no empathy towards you. Like, nigga, listen, man. If they make a motherfucker, listen, if you're not mentally strong nowadays, you're done. Because they will fucking destroy you and roast you online. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're ruthless now. These young motherfuckers. And the internet is crazy. Like, the internet is undefeated. So you already know, man.
One meme.
And it's
wild. Breakdowns.
Yeah.
What happened?
And it's wild. And it's wild
one
because,
meme,
you know.
I was saying that one meme can tear your whole rep up.
Oh, yeah. That's a fact. But how much does rep even really count for? Or what does rep even mean nowadays? Because a lot of motherfuckers in this day and age don't even give a fuck about rep or none of that type of shit because they don't even have no moral codes. They don't stand by anything and none of that type of shit. Everything is just about clout and who's popping and all this other type of shit. Niggas got no backbone. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you can see that from people that still continue to support a nigga like 6ix9ine and laugh at his antics and all that type of shit and be like, yo, I would have did the same thing, all that type of shit. So it's like no... You got no boundaries out here.
You know, but the one thing about it, Hood, is that when you look at a situation like, you know, with 6ix9ine, of course, shout out to our good friend Sean Sotero from Complex, whose journalistic theories in video and print is just some of the most comprehensive and incredible storytelling you've ever heard about an individual artist, just from the story, just the story itself. But with 6ix9ine, I mean, the reality is if we just break it down from a certain level, you're looking at a guy who was really not that talented to begin with.
At all.
And I dare him say something. And I dare him say something about it to us. You know.
That'd be the hookup of a lifetime.
Because the reality is, if we're just talking musical talent, it was minimal to none. But when you look at the situation he got himself into, of course, with Newt, Harv, and Shoddy, these were real goons in the street. And when it all came down, you know, he found out he wasn't as thorough. And now, you know, of course, we all know about the trial proceedings, how that all went down. And even with him being out now, it's like he tried to capitalize off of it. But all it did, in addition to showing his lack of, you know, real resolve to handle what was coming, it just exposed him for who he was, just somebody who gets off on a lot of antics. God help him with that situation trying to clown Lil Durk about, and rest in peace to Lil Durk's brother, because I'm like, 6, you were like asking for a whole bunch of smoke and karma that ain't just an illusion in terms of what energy you're putting out there.
He's trying anything and saying anything to get attention at this point. So nothing surprises me. You know what I'm saying? But
he knew from the gate that he wasn't thorough. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't no secret. You know, he was used for what he was used for, and, you know, it is what it is. I just wasn't under the mindset that people were going to be still so accepting of him after all of this shit. But I guess that was like me being silly, because these motherfuckers out here don't care about none of that type of shit. Like, you could tell on 1,000 niggas, as long as you out here putting shit out and doing shit online, they gonna still fuck with you. These motherfuckers don't care. This shit ain't like it used to. They don't live by the same codes. You know what I'm saying? Or view things the way we view things, or none of that. So,
you know what? And to go back to go back to the music for a second. You know, shifting the conversation for a little bit. Now, one of the key tweets, and this is one of my favorite tweets from you, I actually shared it a while back, was how people instantly give classic albums out the minute they listen to it. Like, they automatically label it as a classic. And I think that's a problem with hip hop within itself.
They use that word very loosely nowadays. That and GOAT.
Yeah.
This is a classic. Oh, he the GOAT. Like, yeah, come on, fam. Like, that album just came out like literally 6 hours ago. How the fuck is it a classic? You gotta let that shit marinate for at least a couple days before you declare something a classic. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Because it's gonna hit you a different way the next day when you listen to it, or when you're listening to it the day after that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like everything is so microwave nowadays. It's like it's crazy, man. Like, yo, he the GOAT.
Hanging up.
That's the GOAT. Yeah, how the fuck is he the GOAT and he the GOAT and he the GOAT? Nigga, the GOAT is one person. How the fuck is it 20 GOATs, man?
And, you know, the one thing about it, when we look at how those arbitrary notions are placed to it, because, you know, music is subjective in its merits, so we're looking at it from a perspective of what everybody's personal preference is. But the reality is, when we look at classic albums, I've never used myself GOAT to describe one rapper. I put plenty of legends. It's some of the best ever. To me, when you're looking at hip-hop culture itself, it is way too broad to narrow it to just one artist. But I could name 1,000 that are integral, that are great. But when you're looking at it from albums, when we're not talking about individuals, when we look at certain albums, like you said, Hood and King, you gotta look at albums in terms of, I guess the most simplistic way I could put it is, how does that album hold up at least 5 years or 10 years from when it was released? If you listen to Ice Cube's America's Most Wanted, and that album was dropped 31 years ago, and it still holds up. If you listen to Reasonable Doubt 25 years ago, rather, it still holds up.
It's all about what's standing the time.
Yeah, Illmatic and Ready to Die 27 years ago. You know, Artifacts, you know, Between a Rock and a Hard Place 27 years ago. These are all albums that are ingrained in the culture. If you listen to, you know, Straight Outta Compton 33 years ago, you listen to Cam's Never Again 1993, 28 years ago. All these records hold up in terms of when you find something, especially anything with E-40, going back to him again, because when you listen to some of the verbiage he spits, niggas need to give Uncle 40 his flowers now, because at least 50% of hip-hop lingo we're using today came from that nigga. I'm mad at him because he had to drop that damn dictionary, that encyclopedia dictionary he said he was going to write, the slang book. I'm still mad at him for not dropping it, because Lord knows. But
the classic thing, it's like, you know, I kind of lost train of thought, but the word just gets thrown around too much. You know what I'm saying? And then, when these people talk about these albums, what they need to do is they need to compare them to undeniable classics and ask themselves, how does it hold up against this? You know what I'm saying? Obviously, they will be different because the two projects will be different or whatever the case be. But compared to that, like, you know what I mean? Like, you got albums like Murder Music. That's an undeniable classic. Get Rich or Die Trying. That's a classic. Doggy Style from Snoop.
Yes.
Undeniable classic.
Yes.
You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, Into the 36 Chamber. Classic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
All type of shit. Like, you know, so you motherfuckers don't know, man. Like, we just living in a different age right now. You feel what I'm saying? And the funny thing about that, not to throw shade at anyone, but Drake is a fantastic artist. He's phenomenal at what he does, but I always tell people the same thing. Like, he got a million hits, but me personally, I don't think he has any classic albums. You feel what I'm saying? And that's just my personal opinion. You know what I'm saying? When we speak about this GOAT thing, because I have this conversation pretty often, and, you know, I guess we can agree to disagree because I think, you know, like I said, depending on the person, it's all opinionated. You could narrow it down to one person depending on on what you like and who you like or whatever the case be. Me, it's always gonna be Pac. To me, Pac is a GOAT, and when I explain to people, they be like, "Yo, why you say Pac is a GOAT? I think Biggie, he ain't next to Biggie and like lyrically and all that stuff." I'm like, listen, man. When I'm speaking about the GOAT and you, a lot of shit goes into that. It's not just, the bars. Like, nah, it's not that, man. I'm looking at his impact. I'm looking at the diversity, the versatility, his song-making ability, his, how did the records affect me? You feel what I'm saying? How did he impact the culture? I'm looking at the fact that he was a revolutionary, a poet, an actor. He was just, and on top of the music, touching people in different ways. You know what I mean? He was vulnerable to the point where he showed his flaws. He wasn't afraid to be exactly who he was. You know what I mean? Speaking about having a crackhead mother or like all that type of shit that people would shy away from speaking about. He threw it out there to the people. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and to me, I haven't heard an artist that sincere. The only person that I've heard as sincere as him is probably X. You know what I mean? Since him. So it's like,
and
to me, he's going to always be that. On top of the fact that his catalog is just incredible.
Yeah.
And it's uncomparable. So.
Yeah. You and our man Hustle need to chop it up about that. Shout out to Hustle Simmons, man, you know, because he's a... he's a big Pac fan, great dude. One thing about it, we can revisit that conversation a little bit about what you said, Hood, you know, in terms of the minutia, the breakdown of classics. Like, when everybody says Big is a GOAT, I'm like, Biggie's one of the greatest. But I'm like, if we really break it down, Big only made two albums. You know, we don't know what he was going to become. You know, I mean, when you look at Pop had seven albums?
You gotta look at it like he also had that Puffy hype machine behind him, too. So he was able to have enough people to convince that Big was the GOAT there. And, you know, it doesn't help that Life After Death was actually a dope-ass double LP. Like, it transitioned. Mm-hmm.
Nah, you can't take nothing. You can't take nothing from that.
Yeah, it was one of the dopest albums I ever heard.
My thing is just that, Like he was alluding to, man, he didn't have enough material. You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
To give him that title. So, and this is what trips people out also when we have that conversation, because it always leads to me saying who my top five is, and that's what makes people squint their eyes even more. Obviously, Pac would be number one. Number two is Hov to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I put Jay-Z two, because to me, he's the epitome of not only a successful black entrepreneur, but he's what every artist aspires to be. You feel what I'm saying? Like, and you have to respect everything that he's accomplished and things of that nature, and on top of his musical catalog. So he's two. To me, I put Nas three. Then I might put Biggie four. Then I put, you know, Rakim or Kool G Rap five. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
we're thinking on the same level, Hood, because of course, Rakim and Kool G are in my top 10. If I have to go in my top five, I have to put Rakim, Kool G Rap, Nas,
Rothko, E40, and I would have to put I have to put Mac Dre in the middle of it too, because Mac Dre was just unbelievable. Well, I tell anybody, if you have not listened to Mac Dre, you need to listen to Mac Dre. Start with Too Hard for the Radio. Yeah, and of course the song Not My Job. Mac was a fucking he was just unbelievable. But even someone say, well, how is it, you know, you don't have Big and Jay? I'm like, listen, it's about
I have to put this is just off the head right now, because it might change maybe the next hour, perhaps. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, it's so many.
Right.
I got Cube up there. I got Tupac up there, number one. I got Cube, number two. I got Scarface, number three. I got Nas, number four. And maybe it's a toss-up. I might have to put Ghostface at number five, because, man, Ghost is one of the illest niggas.
Yes, he is. Shout out to Ghost Dini. Iron Man, Tony Stark, the great Ghost Dini.
Absolutely.
I mean, some of that stuff. And you know, if we can, you know, Hood, because we really gotta stay on this thing about classic albums, because we want to definitely get into the Drake conversation a little bit deeper. But I want to start with, of course, with what King said, because I'm going to piggyback off of that with what he said about Ghostface. When I think of Ghostface, Iron Man was a great album. Supreme Clientele was fucking incredible. That was the album to me to solidify Ghost as a superstar, because Supreme Clientele was just ridiculous. I heard that and I was like, Ghost has gone to a place far beyond of what we have ever seen.
Right.
And speaking of damn greatest MCs, I cannot forget MF Doom. Rest in peace.
Yeah,
Doom was just. I mean, when you listen to those classic albums like Operation Doomsday or, you know, Supreme Clientele, you can name songs off of that, Hood. You name songs off of that are actually that are just like by themselves are unbelievable. When what you said about Drake's albums not being classics, I can't disagree.
I just personally think he doesn't have any classics. Undeniable
right,
classics.
He's got great
songs, but he has countless hits.
Right. But can you look at an album, and I get what you're saying with that, because the thing is, I'm like, can you look at an album like, you know, like Take Care or Views, and can you say that's a classic in terms of like it was genre changing in terms of it really defined it? Drake is a great artist, we all will agree. But it's like, does he have a signature album that really just when you listen to
that's a staple in the culture right there. That album
exactly. Yes, exactly. Absolutely. Yes. Do you think in terms of the elements of it, do you think artists are just making records now, Hood, to where it is a just basically to put music out rather than putting out something that is going to really stand the testament in terms of like 20 years from now, people are going to look back and say like, yo, Son really dropped some shit that really, really defined something. Do you think
only a small percentage of people are thinking like that? You know what I mean? Like, for the most part, they're just trying to, like I said, it goes back to the whole microwave way of thinking that I was speaking about. They're just trying to put shit out for right now it's a certain sound right now that everybody damn near sound alike. You know what I'm saying? So everybody's gunning for that one end sound right now. You know what I'm saying? And me and you both know a lot of that shit, you're not going to be listening to that shit in 10 years. Maybe not even 5 years, maybe. You know what I mean? Like 15 years, damn, hell no. 20 years, you're absolutely not going to hear a lot of shit. So, you know, I mean,
so
a lot of shit is just for right now.
So we're going to talk about the BBBs, the Buffalo Bad Boys, and their crew that is just killing it right now. Griselda, Benny Conway and Westside.
How do you feel?
Just
about
to let you guys know,
right,
man, my damn battery dying. I got like 6% left.
Gotcha.
But
what is your opinion on
those? Yeah, I fuck with Griselda though, man. Like to me personally, I look at them like they remind me of like the New Age Lox.
Hmm.
You feel what I'm saying? That's how I look at them. But I could hear that they were inspired by people like us.
Right.
I could also hear the Wu-Tang, the Ghostface influence in Westside. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? They're good for hip-hop right now, and I definitely appreciate what they're doing, and I respect what they're doing, man, and they're nice. So.
And how does it feel knowing
definitely,
influence, though? Because you said the Lox. I mean, obviously, the stuff, even with what happened, you all were a crew at one point. How does it feel knowing that these guys came later and are following in the footsteps of what you all laid down?
I think it's dope, man. You know, a lot of people aren't even able to recognize it. You know what I'm saying? Or they won't speak on it. But I think it's dope, man, because, you know, people, they know what it is. Or they give niggas their flowers and shit. You know what I mean? Benny acknowledged me like a one time or two. I spoke to him a few times and shit. So it's cool. It's a dope thing, man, because like I said, that's some of the people that actually are really spitting out here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to take your hats off to them.
Dare we see a collaboration come down the line with those guys and yourself?
Hey, who knows, man? I can't call it. You know what I mean?
Straight up. But we know you got to run. Because of your battery, man. So where can anybody find your Pesci joint? And
yes,
tell
listen,
your social
man.
Media handles
Pesci
and all
3
that.
Pesci 3 is out right now. That's my latest
mm-hmm.
album, Pesci 3. If you haven't heard 1 and 2. I suggest you to go get all 3 so you could be caught up and be up to speed. You can get them anywhere where you download music on any and all streaming platforms. Follow me on all social media at Real J Hood. That's at RealJHood. Twitter, Instagram, everything is the same. You can even log on my website, www.realjhood.com, and for all exclusive content. YouTube also. You know, everything is the same online, so check me out. Make sure you go get that
definitely.
Album, though, Pesci 3, man.
Yes,
sir.
Definitely.
So, yeah, on that note, we about to be up out of here. Big shout-out to you, man.
I appreciate
thank
y'all.
For chopping it up with us, man, for episode 400. We're going to definitely continue to
yeah.
deal with you.
Yes, sir, man. Salute. Bless. Y'all stay
salute,
easy.
Man. Appreciate you as always. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah, on that note, we up out of here. Catch us tomorrow night. Same time, same channel. And we out.
401, son. We on. Later.